You're listening in to Lynn Terry of SelfStartersWeeklyTips.com, and during this session I'll be interviewing Paul Short, who is the author of RSS Exposed, a very detailed course explaining RSS technology and the marketing potential of using RSS and blogs in our online business. Paul is the author of both RSSExposed.com and GetBlogs.com. These are two sites that you'll want to check out, so be sure to jot those down now or go ahead and bookmark them. Before we close, too, I'll let you know how you can get a free three-part video tutorial and also how you can get Paul to help you personally with your own blogs or your RSS marketing strategy. Paul has agreed to join us here for about an hour to answer questions and really give us some insight as to how we can use blogs and RSS to gain exposure and increase our traffic and sales on the Internet. So jot down any questions that come up along the way, and I'll open the lines for Q&A shortly and give you an opportunity to speak with Paul directly on those topics. Paul, I'd like to thank you personally for joining us for this exclusive teleconference. I'm sure that I speak for everyone listening in when I tell you how refreshing it is to get some good, solid information on this new technology and from a professional with years of experience in Internet marketing. You really bring it all together in a way that anyone can walk away understanding it and ready to put it into action in their marketing plan. So, again, I want to thank you and welcome.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here, Lynn.
Thanks. Your new course, RSS Exposed, is phenomenal. Now, I have to say that as a user, RSS has made a big difference for me. Just as an end user, it's a great way to keep up with the forums and the newsletters and the blogs and all that offer an RSS feed now. It's really organized compared to what I call life before RSS. And by that I mean, you know, you had to go check every forum online and go blog hopping and then filter through your inbox for all the good newsletters and this and that. Whereas with my feed reader, I can catch up on all of that in one sitting in from one program. So it was getting hooked myself that really started to open my eyes to the marketing potential behind RSS and blogging. But then, of course, until very recently, there wasn't much information to be found online about RSS marketing. And this is where you come in and your course at RSSExposed.com and really fills in all of the blanks for those of us that would want to tap into this and figure it all out. So if you could, you know, just kind of give us an overview of what we can expect from your course or what it covers for those that haven't had an opportunity to read it yet.
Well, what it covers is basically from beginning until end. I mean, I go into detail on things like why people use RSS, for one thing. That's something that you have to understand before you start publishing a feed for marketing purposes.
Mm-hmm.
There's also things like what is RSS, for one thing. A lot of people have questions like that.
That's a good question, because a month ago I was asking you that question.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, RSS is basically just another markup language, sort of like HTML for web
mm-hmm.
pages.
Mm-hmm.
It formats a file of metadata.
Uh-huh.
Basically, metadata is just information about information. It's a summary of information that's contained on the web.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got an article or whatever that you want to publish to RSS, when somebody opens their feed reader or their aggregator online, like Blog Lines or their My Yahoo page, whichever, they see a little summary of the article or the content of a blog, whichever. And
mm-hmm.
if it interests them, the headline and the little summary, they click through. And that's where the traffic comes from.
Well, you know, I have to say again, as a user, I'm really hooked, and that really excites me. I mean, to think that there are thousands or millions of people out there that are really into this and really enjoy having all of their content in one place. So, I'm assuming that there's just huge potential with RSS as a marketing medium.
There is huge potential because Well, sort of like I mentioned in the course, there's a whole different circle of people out there rather than just our Internet marketing circle. You know, the people you
mm-hmm.
see on our normal forums and our normal email newsletters and that sort of thing. There's, you know, those people are probably number in the thousands, whereas
right.
the people who read RSS feeds number in the millions and tens of millions right now.
Wow.
And it's growing every day.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere in the beginning of your course that one of the major RSS or blog directories had 4 million users or readers?
4 million, almost 5 million blogs being aggregated right now.
Wow.
Technorati.com. And they've got millions of users. Moreover.com, a news publishing service, publishes about, well, over 300 feeds right now. They've also got millions of readers.
Wow. Those are some exciting numbers. And I have to say that I've always been a big fan of pull marketing, so I was really happy to see you cover that in the beginning of your course. I see RSS as a huge resource in this area, much like SEO and PPC, which are my two top methods of driving traffic and making sales, of course. So can you share some insight on that with us here about pull marketing, what it is, and why you feel that RSS fits into that category?
Well, push marketing is basically when people push their ads in front of you. You know, you see thousands and thousands of ads everywhere, intrusive every day.
Uh-huh.
It's intruding into your life.
Right.
I mean, I hate to be crude here, but even in men's washrooms above urinals, there's ads.
Right.
You know, this is intruding in our lives. We don't get a chance to actually pull something or find something that we want to read. And search engines are one way. Search engines is one pull marketing method. But even then, there's spam in the search engines. People shoving, you know, people just shoving useless content into the search engines over and over and over again to try and dominate the top listings. So RSS is a way for people to find the news that they want to read. They've got 100% complete control over what they read. They don't have to give up any of their personal information. In fact, it's hard to even know if a person is actually subscribing to a feed. It's hard for the publisher to know unless they look at their stats.
Right.
And that's what people want. People want to remain anonymous. They just want to read what they want to read without any intrusions
right.
in their email, into their lives.
And that's a very good point.
Definitely.
So when how do people find RSS feeds that they want to subscribe to or add to their readers, you know, for their daily reading or what have you? You know, for example, if I was interested in world news, you know, or interested in the local news, where would I go to find these types of feeds and choose the ones that I want to subscribe to?
You can go to any of the feed search engines out there. Weblogs.com basically aggregates feeds out to other search engines like Technorati. Popdex is another one. There's Blogdex if you're interested in blogs. And blogs, by the way, a lot of marketers see them as amateurish, I guess you could say. But those are some of the best ways of seeing the popular opinion on the net at any given time. There's a site, I believe it's blogmatrix.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you go in there, you can type in a search word, and you can actually see what people are talking about, like how they think of that term. For example, like the presidential election in the States.
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested in that, you go to blog lines, and you find out, you'll see exactly what people are saying.
Very good. Very good. So that's the place to go. And I think it's very important to understand RSS from a user's or a reader's perspective, which is the reason I asked you that, because it's important to get an idea of how your content will appear and how these things are searched for. And this is really useful when you're developing your own content specifically to market via RSS.
Oh, definitely.
You know, for example, will they see only the headline or the subject and or will they see the full page or the full article or just the top paragraph? Or, you know, knowing how it will look to your readers could play a big part in how you choose to format your content. You know, in your course, you talk about, you know, reaching a whole new audience, like you said a minute ago, with all of your articles or with archived issues of your email newsletter. And most of us that publish email newsletters have relied on search engine marketing, you know, by publishing our archives to static web pages or word of mouth and, of course, networking to gain readership. Can you talk to us about the potential of using RSS to gain readership and maybe give us an idea of what we can expect versus those other traditional marketing methods?
RSS gives you the exposure. basically what you need to do is just publish your feeds. You get the exposure from the search engines. There's so many millions of people who are subscribing to feeds right now, who follow blogs and different news sites and that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
that if you publish something intelligent, or even unintelligent, to tell you the truth, somebody is going to read it. Somebody is going to find it and be interested in it. There's approximately 200 of those feed search engines and blog search engines out there,
mm-hmm.
various different sizes. There's hundreds of news sites that are publishing via feed. Locker Gnome's one,
mm-hmm.
mostly technology and that sort of thing. Overture is publishing feeds right now. They're looking at ways to integrate advertising in feeds.
I read about that just the other day. But with all of this talk, it kind of has a few people, you know, up in the air about things. So I wanted to clarify a point that I don't feel that RSS is there to replace newsletters, but that it's an additional marketing method that you can add to your, you know, to your marketing plan. But I mean, people may subscribe to your RSS feed and not to your email version of your newsletter, or vice versa, or both. But it's not there to replace, not meant to replace email newsletters. Is that your take on it?
Yeah, definitely, because people have a choice. That's what the pull marketing thing is all about. When people have choices of what they want to read and that sort of thing, and how they want to read it,
mm-hmm.
it's a whole different publishing medium, basically.
Right.
People don't have to go and visit a web page. If they subscribe to the feed, the news comes to them. The blog entries come to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of convenience,
mm-hmm.
being anonymous, getting exactly what you want without any hassles.
Right. And, you know, there are people who are subscribed to my newsletter who tell me they don't ever get it. You know, and that's due to filters and what have you. So this is an alternate method for them to keep up with my newsletter versus trying to remember to, you know, go back to my website and check for the archives or what have you. But I you know, I love my email, you know, and I love my RSS. But it's just like, you know, years ago when we were publishing newsletters via email and the tip, you know, was pointed out that you should publish your archives on the web so that the search engine can find them and you can pull in traffic that way. So RSS is just a means of gaining more exposure and potentially a different type of audience or just more readership, period, to your content, not necessarily a replacement.
Yeah, it can work. It can work in conjunction with anything else that you're doing on the web, basically. If,
mm-hmm.
if you publish any sort of information, or if you want to start publishing any sort of information, what you're doing is giving people another option to subscribe, another option for you to be exposed to those people.
And isn't it true too that you're reaching a much larger audience? Maybe people who are you know, into RSS or interested in that or what have you, that wouldn't necessarily search on Google, let's say, for example. You know, like. Oh, I'll just tell you that my rankings in Yahoo are terrible. I rank very well in Google, okay? However, I can manage to get my feeds syndicated in Yahoo's news directory and on people's Yahoo homepage. So it's just a whole nother way to gain exposure in areas that you may not have been able to before.
That's right, because there's millions of people out there with the My Yahoo page.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, I would say that there's more people who read news online, just go online to read news and email, than who read websites right now, who
right.
would actually visit a website. I mean, if you regularly read CNN,
mm-hmm.
Salon.com, Locker Gnome, those sites, it would take quite a while to go and sift through all their information.
That's true.
Find the latest article, click through there, click through here, mm-hmm. bypass the ads, find what you want. With an RSS aggregator open, that news shows up instantly. You click on the headline that you're interested then, you read the summary. If you're interested in that, you click through to the web page. It's just a matter of...
It makes it very easy and very organized to choose what you want to read, which I guess is where the pull marketing and all comes in.
Absolutely, yeah.
Very good. Well, outside of publishing our newsletters via RSS, there are a lot of other options. The ideas are really just limited to any one person's creativity. One of the most popular methods, of course, is blogging. Blogs can basically be used in place of a website, which makes it very easy, in my opinion, for someone with no prior experience to have a site up and running in a matter of hours. Do you agree with that, and do you feel that blogs are more search engine friendly than static websites?
I would say blogs are more search engine friendly, yes, because they're dynamic. The search engine spider has to come and visit more often in order to keep up with the new content being posted, basically.
Right.
And then with each new piece of content, each new blog post, there's a new page created. There's new links created on other pages automatically to link to that page. Basically, even a blog platform as simple as blogger.com,
mm-hmm.
The search engines are crawling all over my Blogger blog constantly.
Right.
And each new page that's added means every other page is actually changed and updated in some way because those links are put right on the pages each time you hit that post button.
Right, and I have to say that that would either take a lot of work for someone who was managing a static website, or you would have to at least know some basic programming, SSI, or something to that extent, in order to, make that happen. Still, it would be a lot of work to make that happen on a static website, on a regular website, not to mention the difference in cost for a website versus just, let's say, a blog on blogger.com. It's free. There's no hosting cost. And it does all of the updating and programming type thing for you.
Yep. So, and it also does the promotion thing, too, because it pings weblogs.com.
So for someone who really didn't have any prior experience but really wanted to get in and have a presence on the web, this would be the best option, in my opinion.
It would definitely be a good start, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so one of the main reasons that you find blogs to be more search engine friendly is because it's all a very fast and automated process versus, you could do that manually, but it would be tedious.
It would be a full-time job.
Well, we don't want that.
No, the easier the better.
Right, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, we had a couple of really good questions sent in, and I'd like to bring one up here. One was from Cy in Baltimore, who asked, can you syndicate content from a regular website instead of using a blog? And I have to say that this was a really good question because, Paul, as you know, recently I was trying to, look at different ways to put some content up online to promote a new website that I have. And, that was my question, too. What's the easiest way to syndicate content? So how about that manually created RSS feeds, which you cover very well in your course, by the way, the manually created RSS feeds versus blogs? First of all, why would you set up an RSS feed manually instead of using a blog? What kind of ideas can you share with us on creating feeds, why we should, or what kind of feeds we might consider that we weren't using the whole blog platform for?
Well, if you've already built a huge content site, hundreds, maybe even thousands of pages,
mm-hmm.
Basically you could, with that feed for all software, mm-hmm. that's the one I use.
Mm-hmm. That was really great software, by the way. Very good recommendation. I was holding back asking you that question because I thought it was a dumb question, and I found out it wasn't. So, anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, what you can do basically is even if your pages are not listed in Google, even mm-hmm. if they're not SEO, like you've got articles that the search engines just haven't found yet, one thing that you can do is basically write up a new title and a new summary and include the link to a particular article.
Mm-hmm.
So when you publish your feed, you're not actually using the first paragraph or whatever from that article. You're not actually using the title of that article because it's obviously not SEO'd if it's not getting a good results in Google.
Okay.
And are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I thought we lost you there for a second.
Oh, sorry. I was just talking away here.
Well, we lost you for a few minutes when you were talking about, in the case that one of your articles or one of your web pages isn't doing very good in the Google search engine or in any search engine results, how you can use a manually created RSS feed to promote it instead.
A manually created feed, like I was saying,
mm-hmm.
you basically publish the feed using better SEO'd summaries and titles, and then pull it in through on another page on your site using a program like CARP, which is available from geckotribe.com.
Mm-hmm.
And when you pull these feeds in, it's the same idea as the traffic equalizer software, except you have 100% control over it. You're
mm-hmm.
not pulling in somebody else's content. You're pulling in your own.
Oh,
you
I see.
Yeah, you set up a few new pages, use the feed for all software
mm-hmm.
to create the feed, then pull in that feed onto your own pages using that CARP software, the CARP script.
Right.
And every time you update that feed, your page updates.
Which
and
is
what
correct.
What happens is that updated page starts getting spidered more often by search engines like Google, Linktomi, MSN.
Mm-hmm.
And the links going back to your articles that are included in the feed, they're showing up on your web pages. Google starts crawling through those to the articles that you could never get listed.
Right.
So that's one way to optimize those articles and republish them again, specifically for the search engines.
Well, that's very interesting, because I was just about to ask you if there was any SEO value to, you know, to just manually created RSS feeds versus the blog platform, which we know to be very search engine friendly. So that's a very interesting thing to consider. I mean, you could basically use it as a content management type system.
Yeah, you could use it as, basically you set up your own aggregator and pull in your own content on your own site. You republish it on your own site for
mm-hmm.
SEO purposes.
And it changes, of course, as often as you update it, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Very good. That's very good to have a dynamic type website that is in HTML, so that's very search engine friendly that way.
Yeah, you just be sure that you set up CARP so that it's done with HTML and PHP, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than JavaScript, which search engines have a real problem reading.
Right, right. Which is good for content for your visitors, but not good if you can't get the visitors to the content.
Yeah, I mean, JavaScript is quite a bit easier
mm-hmm.
because it's just popping a little piece of code, whereas
right.
whereas with PHP, there's a certain amount of programming involved and that sort of thing. You have to understand it a little bit more.
Right, and that's using the CARP.
Yeah, but it's definitely worth it to learn and understand this stuff. And another way, like, you could also republish that content and promote it using sites like pingomatic.com, 2rss.com, and Technorati,
mm-hmm.
and those sites. They won't all accept the feed, because a lot of them actually, they'll only accept blog feeds,
uh-huh.
so that it leads back to an actual blog. But you're still republishing that content. You're recycling it, because there's still millions of people out there that have not read your web pages. These articles that may be 2 years old, they'll be brand new to somebody who
right.
just saw them.
Right, that's true. You know, and another point to make there, she had asked, you know, about creating RSS feeds without using a blog or instead of using a blog. But a blog doesn't necessarily have to represent a diary or a journal or something that only writers can do. In fact, if you use a blog like WordPress or Movable Type, it allows you to separate your post into different categories. So you could post articles using the blog format, such as Movable Type or WordPress. You could post articles to various categories And that, in essence, you know, would create feeds for each category, and that would be a very organized way to manage your content. Also, in addition to just going about creating a manual feed, which might be a little more difficult than you know, using a blog format. It doesn't have to, you don't have to write as a writer, but you can use it to post your content. Don't you agree?
Definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you could just use a blog and not write a word. You could also publish other people's articles just
using a blog format.
Copy, cut, paste it right into a blog software. It doesn't have to be a blog per se. It can be another website. You know, you're using the actual blogging platform, the software, to manage your content. And, of course, promote it through the RSS feeds, the categorized feeds.
Well, now, this brings up another good question that was sent in, and this is from Dana of Maryland. And she asked, how can we make money with RSS without having a blog and without having a website? Now, I thought that this was an interesting question because a lot of times when we talk about RSS marketing, we might say, you know, we use RSS to drive traffic to our website, you know, or what have you. But really, if you, like in the example that you just gave, whereas you're republishing articles, let's say that you're an affiliate marketer, and most of the merchants that you resell products for will give you articles or marketing material or what have you to use to republish with your own affiliate links. Or if you write your own articles in order to promote affiliate links, you could literally paste each of these articles in, and you could actually categorize them, you know, like if it were in the internet marketing industry, of course, you could have PPC and SEO and all the different categories you might be publishing articles on, and then simply publish those entire articles, including your affiliate links, and then ping them out. So that would be the answer to Dana's question, how can we make money with RSS without a blog or a website? Even if you don't use the blog platform, you could create this feed manually.
You can create the feed manually. It does have to be hosted. It's an actual file. It does have to be somewhere on the web.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a URL in order to reach the feed, like a link to it.
Right.
But you don't necessarily need to publish a website, no. No, you can publish the full content of the article in the feed.
Mm-hmm.
That's another option, right? Because it's not just all summaries. A lot of people and a lot of other websites, if they pick up the articles,
right.
Like if a traffic equalizer site picks up the article,
mm-hmm.
whichever, there's free promotion for you right there.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely, and that would be the whole point, would be to get into those directories where people were pulling content to republish on your topic.
And your affiliate links are right in the article.
Right, right, absolutely. And you know something I found out about bloggers is they love to click.
Oh.
They yes, love links. You know, and trying to get someone to click a link in an email, it's a lot different than, you know, if you happen to link to something through your blog, it's, you know, more likely to get clicked on by far. But going back to what you just said there about publishing summaries, in your course, you mentioned that we should publish summaries instead of the full text or the entire post. And what this means, for those of you that aren't sure yet, is that when someone opens their feed reader and selects your most recent post, it will show them the title and a short summary of what you posted, your content or your article or what have you. And this is something that I was really unsure about when I set up my own feeds initially, thinking it would be better to deliver all of my content to make sure it would get seen and get read. However, you suggest just publishing the summary so that the reader would have to click through to your website to read the full article. And this really makes perfect sense because the whole point is to drive more traffic to your site.
Yeah, and so, if they can read the whole article right in the feed reader, there's no reason to go to the site, really.
Right. So it really depends on what your main objective is. If you are simply publishing an article with affiliate links embedded in the article, it might make sense for you to actually publish the full article. However, if you are trying to encourage people to visit your website, or you would rather people visit your website and see what you have to offer, subscribe to your newsletter, etc., then you definitely want to compel them to click through. So this means that we should pay very close attention to our title and our subject and that first paragraph or so.
Yep, definitely. There should be at least a keyword phrase in the title, because that's a clickable link, the anchor text, basically.
Right.
It also tells the reader, if they're reading it in their newsreader, it also tells the reader what the article is about. You know, it's not just for SEO purposes. Keywording isn't. And like I mentioned in the course, in order to compel people to click through to your site, there's a couple of little tricks that you use. First one I already mentioned is using the keywords so that people know what they're going to be reading in the summary. And then end in the middle of a sentence or a statement or whatever, and if they're interested enough to click on the headline in order to read the summary, if they've done that, in order for them to read the full article, they've got to click through to finish that sentence.
Right, right.
And you have the visitor to your site right there.
Well, you know, in the example we talked about before, where Dana asked about publishing an RSS feed without a blog or without a website, in that situation, of course, it would probably be best to publish the entire article or the entire post, the full, instead of the summary. But I would suggest split testing, you
Definitely.
Know, to find out whether you had better results, you know, publishing the summary or publishing the full post. In the event that you're specifically publishing articles, especially affiliate articles or something to that effect, would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. You could also go to a site like ClickBank or whatever, find a bunch of related affiliate programs.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, go and, you know, find some top-selling ones where you know that the sales letter is working. And as long as the readers know that this is a product feed that you're publishing, use their headlines, use the first paragraph of their text, use the promotional materials that you've been given, and publish a product feed. Add a new product to that feed every day. And there's your content.
Very good.
And when somebody clicks on the link, you basically just put the ClickBank hop link in the link area of the Feed for All software, upload it to the web, subscribes to that feed.
So if they click through, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that was an aha moment.
Yeah, they're clicking right through to the sales letter.
If they click through your post, it goes to the sales letter. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. You know, you mentioned something a minute ago that I also remember from your RSS course, and it was on page 40 where you talked about optimizing, your definition of optimizing. You refer to it as making your content and your headlines more appealing to both search engines and readers. And more often than not, when I hear the term optimizing, it's in reference to search engines only. But really, it is the reader's attention that you're after. So copywriting skills could play a big part in your success with blogs and RSS feeds.
You wouldn't even need really extensive copywriting skills. Basically, all you need to do is gain interest.
Right.
You're only writing a title and a summary, right? So it's an awful lot easier than optimizing an entire web page for a search engine. You just think of the way people think, what people want. Why would people want to read your article?
Right, and I have a theory that you should be interesting, controversial, or funny.
Yeah.
You know, those are the three things that really get people's attention. And that reminds me, too, this morning, Jason Kane from GoBlogger.com put his newsletter out this morning, and he talked about specifically about posting to create controversy or, you know, specifically to get a response out of people, you know, to get a rise out of people, because that would encourage people to talk about him or link to that particular area and get even more exposure for it and such and such. But really, you know, when it comes to business and marketing, it's important to have something that is newsworthy or interesting or, you know, something that you yourself would want to read. You know, not just blah, blah, blah. You don't just want to have very dry content out there all over the place. That's not going to really do you a lot of good. So it is important to kind of compel people and interest people, you know, to gain that readership.
Yeah, and be interest. Put some originality in it. If you can be different, I mean, whether it's funny or controversial or whatever, as long as it's different, you're going to spark some interest.
Right, right. Or even if it's just a different style or a different flair, you know, within the industry that they're used to reading dry content from.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, and if you were to take the readers out of the equation altogether, aren't there still a lot of benefits to RSS feeds in regards to search engine marketing? Like, for example, wouldn't the links in your feeds count as inbound links to your website?
Yes, definitely, if they're on a different site. If somebody grabs your feed for a different page, like, I'll use the traffic equalizer example again.
Okay.
If you're optimizing your site for a three-word phrase,
mm-hmm.
let's say green bunny slippers.
Oh, boy.
Okay, if you're optimizing for green bunny slippers and you've got a couple of thousand people that are going to a site like, Technorati for one,
mm-hmm.
new search engine,
mm-hmm.
or a blog, an RSS search engine, they're going to type in that search box, green bunny slippers. Your feed's going to pop up at number one because you've optimized that feed for that keyword phrase. Now, you've not only optimized it for the search engines, but the reader as well, because the reader's interested in it.
Ah, gotcha. So we have a whole new search to be interested in now. Great, right.
And I'm not sure which one it is, if it's RSS equalizer or traffic equalizer, but that one of the two softwares basically spiders those search engines.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually looks for the results, search results in those search engines. So you enter in your keywords in the software. And while they enter in the keywords in the software when they're looking for an RSS feed to display on some of their pages. So if your content is optimized, like if your headline and your summary is optimized with the keyword phrase, they're going to find it in there. Now, 99% of people who publish feeds don't even think about optimizing them in that way. It's just by chance that somebody picks up the feed.
Right.
So if you've got a niche feed, say, you know, on different styles of bunny slippers,
mm-hmm.
You know, one day you could have green ones, blue ones, big fluffy ones, or little ones, whichever, kids ones, you know.
Right.
If you keep that feed specific, that feed now becomes more useful on the page that it's being pulled into on that other person's site.
Okay, because
Google ends up spidering that page because it's so specific, and you get the links back. The traffic from Google goes to that page, they click on the links, and comes back through to your site.
Okay, these people that are using, like, those software programs, they are basically pulling feeds so that they can add fresh content to their static web pages. And
yep.
This is how you're telling us, this is how you get your feed into their database.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Because a lot of people are using that software.
A lot of people are, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you get some terrific advice in your course for appealing to the readers and you know, compelling them to click through, but you also mentioned the use of keyword phrases, which you talked about just a minute ago. Is this something that we should consider? Should we do keyword research when we're developing our feeds or blogs or, you know, developing our posts and our categories and setting all of that up? Would you recommend that we, you know, go heavy into the keyword research like we do when we're setting up an entire website?
If you just optimize your, like, the entire feed, not just the one post,
mm-hmm.
but the entire feed, you optimize it around a general keyword phrase, maybe a one-word phrase. Each specific feed, if you optimize it for a two-word phrase, maybe a three-word phrase, getting more and more specific with each post, there's very, very few other people out there that use feeds in that way. Right at the moment. I mean, it's going to be catching on because RSS is becoming more and more popular, and people are looking at it from a marketing perspective rather than just news. But if you got started right now and you started doing your keywords research, mm-hmm. the same research that would apply to, say, you know, a Google AdWords campaign,
right,
where you get deeply into it, into the specifics of all that,
right.
Yeah, you would be, your feed would come out head and shoulders above the rest, definitely, because there's so few people who even think that way.
Excuse me. Well, what about competition? Now that you bring it up, I mean, do you feel that this area is highly competitive as a marketing medium, say, you know, like SEO and PPC in certain markets, or is there room for someone to come in and really do well with RSS marketing?
There's room for everybody.
It's wide open, huh?
It's wide open, yeah, because, I mean, most bloggers, I mean, just about every blog software pushes out an RSS feed,
mm-hmm.
right? There's so many people out there that a lot of people don't even know that they're, you know, a lot of bloggers don't even realize, they don't even think it's important that their feeds are being picked up.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, there's very few people doing it. And that's why people need to jump in on this right now. I mean, if like I said before, if you optimize that feed, you'll stand head and shoulders above the rest.
Well, and it's
when
like,
it comes to, like, when you do your research.
And it's like SEO in that of the people who do know about it and how to do it, you know, there's only a small portion of that number that actually take the time. You know,
exactly.
to do it, to put it into action. So the numbers, competition-wise, are always a lot smaller than they seem.
Mm-hmm.
A lot smaller. And that is a good point. I mean, this really, like I said, until very recently, there was just literally no information out there for us to get our hands on as far as how RSS related to online marketing. So this is a very good time to get in. Absolutely. Let's get into a few of the questions that were sent in, too, before we open the lines for Q&A, because I'd really like to open the lines. One that I thought was very good, Dana, again, she asks, what are the best ways to monetize our RSS feeds and our blogs? And, of course, we kind of covered that a bit when we talked about, you know, writing articles and driving traffic to your own websites, or writing articles that specifically promote affiliate programs, and I really loved your tip about having it click through to the landing page. That was great. But you know, are there any other ideas or creative ways that we can, you know, use our RSS feeds and blogs specifically as a source of income?
There's quite a few, actually. You see a lot of blogs with AdSense ads, right?
Right.
If you went, obviously, most people know that you can also set up a search, a Google-based search engine on your site. That actually, you know, it'll search your site, or it can search the web as well, right from your site.
Right.
If you're if you mention a keyword phrase in an article or a blog post, just cut that keyword phrase or copy it, sorry, highlight and copy it into your own Google search box. Click the button. You'll end up on a Google landing page, or a Google search results page, sorry.
Right.
There'll be ads on that page. The search string that ends up in the address bar of your browser,
mm-hmm.
basically that long, weird-looking URL.
Right, with all the characters in it, right.
Yep, highlight that, cut and paste it, or copy and paste it,
mm-hmm.
and surround that keyword phrase on your blog with a link that clicks through to that page. So anytime,
to the search engine results page.
Yeah, so anytime from now on that somebody clicks on that active link right in your blog post,
mm-hmm.
they're going to end up on that search results page. If they click on an ad there, they're going to get paid. It's
right.
The same idea with a site that I just found out about this one the other day, and immediately I thought it was the same sort of thing. It's called AffiliateTax.com.
That's very good. I've taken a look at that one, too.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. basically the same idea, but it does it automatically.
Right. You insert a very small piece of code, line of code at the top of your page or something to that effect?
You basically surround the text with their code. The instructions are all right there on their site.
It is very simple.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, you can isolate different areas of your page, too, right? By,
mm-hmm. Like you could just have it happen in, you know, in the footer or in the header of a web page or what have you, yeah.
Yeah, or in one paragraph, or, mm-hmm. I mean, you could surround the title, whichever, right?
And what this does, what this service or program or what have you does, is it will choose keywords out of your content so you don't even have to go through the trouble, and it will match them with top-selling products on ClickBank, insert your affiliate link, and bam, it basically monetizes your content. So I would agree that this would be a very good, that was affiliatetext.com?
Affiliatetext.com, yeah.
That would be a very good option for bloggers, you know, specifically, or for people who are publishing articles and such via RSS feeds.
Yeah, that would be a big, it'd be a big improvement over Google AdSense, because with AdSense you're going to get paid, you know, a few cents or maybe a dollar or a couple of dollars if somebody clicks through. Now, if you're using a ClickBank, if that link is going through to a ClickBank program for a $97 product, I mean, you could make $30, $40, $50 or more.
Well, that's true.
If somebody buys through the link.
And, two, it should be noted that people, especially blog readers and bloggers, click on link within the content. They like to click those links more so than they're going to be apt to click on an ad.
Definitely, yeah.
Because you know, I kind of, as you mentioned before when we were talking about pull marketing, we are getting blind to advertising.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's everywhere. It's in everything. It's in your face at the grocery store. It's on the radio, on the TV. It's everywhere. And in addition to being on the computer. So that makes a lot of sense, you know, to go within the content.
Yeah.
Type
yeah. Yeah, it's the contextual advertising that's the hot thing right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and there was one more really great question, and it was asked, when you click on the orange XML button, which we've all seen those, they're really getting popular all over the web, you get a lot of information you don't need or understand, and you have to find some specific piece of data or code and then add it manually. And I have to say I can really relate with this question because the first time I ever clicked on one of those buttons and got to the page, I thought, oh, I probably wasn't supposed to click that, you know. But, you know, we're seeing a big increase in those little orange buttons. But, you know, people don't understand the code that they see on that page that it takes you to. So,
Well, I think the best way, it's because a lot of people just don't understand yet. I mean, this is really new to a lot of people, right? You click this little button and all of a sudden you've got a page of code. What do you do with it, right? They may not even know what a news aggregator or reader is.
Right.
So if you put a button on your site, the little XML button, and basically just ask a question right above it with a clickable link, what is this or what's this for? You know,
that
sparks curiosity. It gets people to click through to a page that explains what that button is. You could have links there going to a free feed reader, like, well, feedreader.com or FeedDemon. You know, people download FeedDemon. And I believe there's an affiliate program associated with that one, too. You get a free trial. There's that sort of thing, right?
Right. And, you know, I think that's a very important point to make, that we should educate our visitors instead of sticking a button up there that when they click on it, they have no clue what they've just gotten themselves into. You know, you hit the back button quicker than you could say go, you know. So I think it's a very important point to educate our visitors, and I like the idea of the, you know, pique their curiosity with a little text link. What is this? I like that.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I use FeedBurner, which is at feedburner.com, and this makes my feeds browser-friendly, and I do that specifically for this reason because I was too lazy to make up my own what is this page. But this really helps to educate your site visitors that don't already know what RSS is, and it also gives you a much neater-looking landing page for your feed. You can see an example of that by going to selfstartersweeklytips.com/forum, and you can click on the orange XML button there, and you'll see the page that feedburner.com creates from the feed. It really takes the ugly code and turns it into a very nice, you know, educating web page that can actually be bookmarked and used even from a browser. So that is kind of nice.
Oh, yeah, definitely. FeedBurner is, if you sign up for FeedBurner, you've also got, I believe you've also got tracking code, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there are stats.
Yeah, there's stats. So mm-hmm. if figure out how
they're a little complicated.
Subscribing. Oh yeah, yeah. They're kind of. It's obvious that a tech person wrote it.
Yes, but
that program.
But when you first start out and you go from the number 10 in that little box to the number 300 a couple of weeks later, it really does give you kind of a gauge or an idea that you're rising in popularity. So the stats are useful to an extent. They're just a little bit complicated, like you said. Are you still with us, Paul?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good, good. I'd like to open the lines, if that's okay with you, and take some questions from our callers. And, of course, as promised, after we get done with the Q&A session, I want to let you know how you can get a free copy of the video tutorial that I offered. So I'm going to go ahead and open the lines now. You can give it about 3 seconds, and then whoever speaks up first has the floor. Okay, the lines are open. Would you look at that, Paul? We've answered all their questions.
Kind of like a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, isn't it?
Well, one of two things is going on. Either, you know, they're shy out there, or, you know, not sure, you know, what to ask, or feel like you've had all your questions answered. So I'd love for someone to speak up and give a little feedback. What did you think? Was there anything specific that you found interesting so far on the call?
Well, that was the last reference to affiliate text or something.com?
Yeah, that was affiliatetext.com.
Thank you.
Affiliatetext.com also has a built-in affiliate program. So in addition to monetizing your content or your articles or your blog or your website, it's also an opportunity to earn second-tier affiliate commissions. Isn't that right, Paul? Did
yeah.
I read that correctly? Okay. So that's a really good one to check out for sure.
That's T-E-X-T. Is that correct?
Yes, affiliatetext.com.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I'm not shy, but I know I definitely have no idea what to ask.
You have no idea what to ask?
No idea what to ask.
Okay.
But I came in late, about 9:30.
Okay.
And just been listening to some very mind-blowing things. And what impresses me most is the simplicity of it all. Once you have a clue about how all it works, you can put it into effect right away. No specialized knowledge involved.
Absolutely.
Just go have fun.
It is fast. And, you know, that's one of the things that I really love about RSS is, and I always say, you know, Paul Short puts the simple in really simple syndication. You know, that's what RSS stands for, really simple syndication. And he really does make it simple because there were times, and Paul and I have been, you know, discussing RSS, and he's been helping me out with my own feeds for a while now. You know, and there were times when in a matter of minutes, we could make things happen over the web. He would, you know, give me a resource. I could type it in. I'd say, okay, hang on just a second, you know, and we would have it up and running, and he could see it on his end. And it really is a phenomenal resource. If you want to ask a question specifically about your idea, you know, or a concept that you're considering, you're welcome to do that as well. So any feedback or any questions or any resources that you know of are welcome. All we have the lines open.
Yeah, I want to ask a question.
Okay.
I got my own website, right? So you're
mm-hmm.
saying that with the RSS, do I have to build a particular template? Is it separate and then it leads, you know, you back into, you know, your regular website? Is that how it works? Because I'm sitting here listening. I mean, I'm a little confused, but, you know, it's my first time hearing about RSX, actually. That's why I'm confused.
Okay, well, it's a good question. Let's say that you have a website, whether it's product-based or content-based or one page or 100 pages. Let's just
mm-hmm.
say you have a website out there and
I'm looking for exposure, basically.
Right,
how could this
right.
actually work for me?
Well, on your web pages, and I should probably let Paul answer this, but let me jump in real quick. On your web pages, you're optimizing them for the search engines only for probably 1 to 3 keyword search terms. So you can easily add a blog, like install a blog on your website or have a separate blog hosted somewhere else, And you can publish your articles and really, you know, optimize for different keyword search terms that reach the same market but in a different way. You know, that's one good way. And also, all of the exposure and traffic that you can gain through your blog or through your RSS feed, you can funnel straight back to your website.
Okay, and this is hosted on a separate blogger hosting, is that what it is?
It can be either. You can either host it for free at blogger.com, or you can install a blog, which is very easy. With most hosts, it's a one-click install in your cPanel. You can install movable type or WordPress right there on your own server. And basically, you'll be able to increase your exposure by getting your feed out there in all of the feed directories. Paul, you want to take this one and add anything to it?
Yeah, like if you've got a site, a content site, or even a two- or three-page mini-site, and you install a blog, it doesn't have to be on that same site. You can do a totally separate one, or you can just do it in a subdirectory. You start pulling in content or creating new content, other people's articles that are relevant and optimized around the theme of the original site, of your first site.
Okay.
Use, like I mentioned, a program called CARP. Install that on your server.
Is that a C or a K?
That's C. That's a C.
Okay.
It's at Gecko Tribe. That's GECKOTRIBE.com/RSS/CARP. And that's right.
That again,
that's right at
please?
The download page. It's GeckoTribe.com. That's GECKOTRIBE.com. /RSS/CARP. And that goes right to the download page for CARP.
Okay.
The instructions are all included in there. It's fairly easy to set up and configure. Now, if you're publishing your blog right on your site, you're creating new content. You basically post to it every day or every couple of days even. That blog publishes an RSS feed. You enter that RSS feed in CARP, configure it, and put the code that you're given by CARP onto your static page, the one that doesn't change, like your mini site. You put it at the bottom somewhere where it's not intrusive. Now, every time you post to your blog, CARP pulls it into that static page. And your static page now becomes dynamic because the content at the bottom is automatically changing. So when Googlebot visits the site, before you did this, when it was static, Googlebot would visit the site a few times and see that the page was static and just leave it. Now, once it becomes dynamic, starts constantly changing, Googlebot comes back to the site more often and more often and sees it as a more valuable resource because it's changing. And more than likely, it'll rank higher because of that. And all you've got to do in order to do that is just set up the software. Once that's all done, you just do a blog post every day or two. I would suggest, for pulling it in onto a static page like that, I would suggest giving Google time to actually index the page. You just watch your stats. Do a blog post, which means that page will update.
Okay.
Right? And, I mean, the blog also makes the site dynamic, too. The blog also draws in Googlebot. And when you've got your links on the blog, that's another link to that main page so that Google finds that that main page is now changing. It's kind of complicated. It's like a circle, right? Every time you make a post, it's changing every other page. And the content is circling around.
But unlike some of these programs that are out on the market right now, you have complete control, and it's your content.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
You know what, Paul? I had a question kind of came up in my head while you were saying all that, and this is really, really good stuff. But you mentioned CARP and programming and PHP, and okay, so my head's swimming, okay? Isn't there a web-based free place where you can put the link to a feed in and it will create the code?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, there's one.
It's not so difficult, as CARP, no programming needed?
Yeah, it's called RSS Digest. It's,
very good.
It's at bigbold.com, that's bigbold.com/RSS Digest, all lowercase letters.
And that would be effective in accomplishing the same thing?
Oh, yeah, it would accomplish the same thing. The thing with CARP is that you can pull in multiple feeds, and you can configure it a lot more to match your pages.
Okay. So for those people who are a little more advanced, CARP is definitely the way to go. But for those people who are relatively new to all of this and need the easy route, definitely go with bigbold.com/RSS Digest.
Yeah, and one little tip about that site,
mm-hmm.
Make sure you output in HTML and PHP. You choose that when you're going through the form.
Okay,
basically, you drop your feed URL in, like, say, yoursite.com/yourfeed.xml, right?
Mm-hmm.
XML or RSS on the end, or even RDF, I believe. I haven't tried it with an RDF, but anyway, make sure when you're choosing the options that you have it output in PHP. Then all you have to do, the page that you're putting it on,
mm-hmm.
just name that page with a .php extension.
You don't have to do any special programming to create a PHP page. You just create a page like you always would, whether you hand code in text or whether you use Dreamweaver or Front Page, and then you save it as page.php, or whatever
exactly.
The name of your page is. That's a very, very good point.
Yeah, because all that does is it tells the server that there is an executable script. There's a PHP script on the page. It's
and
still an HTML page.
This is search engine friendly content, of course. So it's
fireable.
Okay, very good. So it's the non-techie way of accomplishing that. That's very good. Do we have any more questions or comments or anything else you guys would like to discuss about RSS or blogging?
I'd like some feedback. Hi,
okay.
Lynn. This is Roy Montero.
Hi, Roy.
Hi. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Roy. How are you doing?
Using a blog software for your links or resource pages.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Now, you know, that's interesting because as I was saying earlier, you know, the blog format, just the blog platform itself, is really a good content management system. It's really a good way to kind of categorize or create directories. Paul?
Yeah, well, you mean for resources, like, say, a links page?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about, Roy?
Yeah. We deal with this a lot, and
we've
seen some really ugly links pages where it's just one single page, it has about 2,000 links on it, and there's nothing else, you know?
It serves
no purpose.
I want to interrupt you right there, Roy, and let's get a quick introduction. Just give us, this is Sharon and Roy Montero for everyone on the line and on listening in that doesn't know Roy already. Sharon and Roy Montero are SEO specialists. Can you give us your URL real quick?
That's iwon.net.
Very good.
/SEO for the SEO part. And
so you're asking this from a search engine marketing standpoint.
Well, yes, and also from a just getting traffic. If the search engines did not exist,
mm-hmm.
okay, if there's no such thing as a search engine.
Oh, my goodness.
we would still be able, as website owners, to travel from website to website.
Yes, and there was an interesting fact stated recently about that every website is connected by no less than 3 links.
Mm-hmm. Well, it should be.
Yes,
it should
I thought
be.
That was an interesting fact.
But there's a lot of, you know, wrong information being passed around in all of these webmaster forums, SEO forums, telling people, oh, don't link out because you'll lose page rank. It's called page rank leak, and you want to hoard all of this stuff. And no, you want to link out just as much as you want inbound links. I mean, take a look at Google. Take a look at Yahoo. Take a look at
Divas.
outbound links.
Hello, that's all right. There is. And what is their page rank? Like, mm-hmm. you know, through the roof. Okay, so no.
Yeah, so we're all sitting around thinking, yeah, but they own the page rank.
Well, it's because there's a lot of inbound links. Now, when people have a link directory worth linking to because the author has decided that, oh, I've got a link request from so-and-so over here, why don't I, you know, write up a little nice little paragraph about what I think about their particular site, their business, their resources, what have you, and do it in blog form and make that your links page.
Absolutely.
Well,
I mean, I think that would be outstanding. We've been thinking about this, and, you know, just to touch on another thing, why this would be so important is that a lot of people are link hunters. They hunt for links, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Be fairly, fairly quiet. I'm hunting for links. but we would like to say, why not become a link huntee? Why not be the site or the links directory or the resource directory that people are looking for? You know, because if you're looking for someone to exchange links with, say like you're in the gift baskets industry, you'd go to Google, Yahoo, what have you, and type in gift baskets and then type in add URL or add link or
right,
add
or gift
site.
Basket directory. Okay, but I have some input there. Why would you not just use LMA, Duncan Carver's directory creator? What do you call it, link management?
Link management assistant. That's what I run the Gapblog site.
Right, that's onlinemarketingtoday.com. Now, here's my question, Paul, because this is so good. When you use LMA, it's very search engine friendly. It's very user friendly and visitor friendly. They make great websites. And a great example, as Paul mentioned, is getblogs.com. It's created using LMA, Duncan Carver script. So, Paul, do you have an RSS feed for your LMA database?
No, I don't.
Can you?
I could. I could basically scrape the directory, yeah, with a
uh-huh.
scraping software that'll go through and pull out the important parts of the page, transform it into an RSS feed, yeah.
Well, let's say, you know, such as, and this is getting kind of detailed, but for when you have a WordPress blog, you have categories. You know, you can set up different categories,
exactly.
And people can subscribe to the feed for a specific category. They don't have to subscribe to the feed for the whole blog. Okay, so on getblogs.com, you have all of the different blogs that you showcase there categorized. So is it possible to set up a feed for each category so that someone like me who is constantly looking for new websites to link to or new, you know, sites in the directory for a specific topic could just subscribe to the feed for that topic? Like, let's say I wanted to subscribe to websites about NASCAR collectibles.
It's possible, yeah. Yeah, I haven't done it. I haven't given it much thought because what I've done is basically, like a lot of people use that software, the Link Management Assistant, for SEO and a links directory on
right.
your site for exchanging links.
Mm-hmm.
But I've basically set it up as a standalone human-edited directory
mm-hmm.
for, you know, the sole purpose of a directory for blogs.
Let me ask you this. I've seen the software. I really haven't played with it, used it. What would be the main difference between a blog software and the links management software? Would not the links, the dynamic links that were constantly being created, be the difference?
I think the main difference would be the fact that LMA doesn't ping and a blog would.
Yeah, you've got the self-promotion with the blog and that sort of thing.
See, because so, when you get down to it, your page rankings will increase with additional links. So if you are not getting additional links every time you're adding an entry to a link management software or like a directory software, do you follow what I'm trying to say here? Is you're missing the actual links to the various pages. The more links you have pointing to a particular page
well,
with particular anchor text,
right.
that will increase its ranking.
Now, the blog does create a lot of dynamic, you know, pages and changes on pages and things like that. I have to agree. As far as using it for a link management system, that would be something to look into. You know, that would definitely be something to research and look into and see if it would be, you know, a viable idea.
Yeah,
that's
definitely.
That was a good
especially
question.
If you could, if you had a couple, people that were putting one together and they ended up getting some really good rankings, I mean, then everybody would follow suit.
But I have to say that the easy version of that, you know, the easy solution to that would be to use LMA. I mean, I realize the potential of what you're talking about, but for those people who just want a really good, solid link directory, LMA is free to download, and you can get it from onlinemarketingtoday.com. That's from Duncan Carver. But, again, like I said, Roy, that's an excellent question and definitely has a lot of potential.
And LMA is also a spider magnet, too. So far this month, I'm looking at my stats page right now for getblogs.com.
Mm-hmm.
Googlebot has hit the site 3,443 times this month alone. And, I mean, most people get, what, like 100 hits a month for a static web page, if that?
I don't know. Roy would know.
It all depends.
It depends
on what you have, you know.
Right.
You have something, a blog directory, I mean, that's, yeah, you're going to get a lot of people visiting because this is something that's, you know, very popular these days.
It is.
But I'm talking about the regular mom-and-pop shops that rarely get anybody their links pages at all. And the only reason that they even have their links pages is because they heard, oh, if I exchange links with about 5,000 of my closest friends and enemies, then I'll get high rankings in the search engines. Well,
Right. Yeah,
maybe kind of, sort of. It all depends where the links are coming from, how they're put together, all of that stuff. So basically,
I would say that blogs, whether you're posting links within your content or you're posting comments on other people's blogs and including your link in your signature, I would say that those links are the better links to place than to even, you know, worry about a links page, unless you can make the links page fit into the theme of your website so that people would actually want to visit that page and see what's on it.
Yes, this is my point. My point being that people will now want to visit your links and resources pages and see and read and search through them and everything else because you've categorized them perfectly and, you know, you've written a little bit extra about it than just posting a link.
Or something, yes. And, you know, that's what makes links interesting. You have to make them different than just a long list of links. You have to categorize them or review them or,
absolutely.
Know, something
and
to that effect.
I tell you what, if somebody is in this for the long haul, if you know you're going to be in this in another 5 years, 10 years from now, I would really, really suggest you take a good hard look at your links pages and how you're building them today, because everybody's just throwing a bunch of links together, putting, you know, 400 or 500 links on one page, and that doesn't cut it. The apps are not going to value them as well as they would if there were only just a few per page and you really wrote about them.
I'll tell you what, Roy, after the call, I'm going to send you an email, and, you know, I'm putting together a brand new website, and I'm going to share with you my links page, and we'll talk about that. Because I'd be interested in getting your feedback on that.
Sounds wonderful.
Again, that's Roy Montero, IWONI1.net, and they are SEO consultants. So anybody else have any feedback, any questions before we close for the night and get into how you can get the free video tutorials?
I want to thank Roy for asking that question.
That was a good question.
Thanks.
My resource page is a blog at whatHumor.com, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I've grossly underutilized it until now, and I won't do that anymore.
This is Dan Reinhold.
This is Dan Reinhold, yes.
Hi,
hey,
welcome.
Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Very good. Yeah, there's definitely some good questions. Do you have any questions, Dan?
At this point, probably no, because I my mind right now can't actually light on one thing in particular to form a question.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're fortunate in that you have access to both Paul and I exclusively, and I'll talk more about that in just a second, on how other people can work with us one-on-one with their RSS marketing plans and their blogs and things like that. But as promised, I do want to let you know how you can get a free copy of the 3-part video tutorial. This is titled Carefully Crafted Emails. These videos sell as a set for $47, but If you forward me a copy of your receipt for RSS Exposed, which you can order online at rssexposed.com, I will send you this video set absolutely free. I won't add you to a mailing list. I won't ask you for any information or anything like that. You can simply send an email to, forward your ClickBank receipt to Lynn, L-Y-N-N, at selfstartersweeklytips.com. If you forward that over to me, I'll send you a free copy of these. And this is, like I said, a three-part video session. It's online videos. You won't need any special software in order for it to run on your computer. And it will really teach you how to pull people into your emails, you know, how to build the curiosity factor. And the reason that I am giving this away for those that are also taking Paul's course is because this can also apply in your blog postings and in the articles that you write that go into RSS readers and things like that. So that will really help you give the boost that you need. Also, you can get a free copy of these video tutorials by joining Turning Ideas Into Dollars, which you can find at turningideasintodollars.com/Paul Short. This is an exclusive membership site, and Paul Short is on our panel of advisors. So you'll have an opportunity to work with him and myself one-on-one at our private forum there. Again, that's turningideasintodollars.com/Paul Short. And Paul, before we close, I know that you have set up an email list and a private feed for those who have taken or are currently taking your RSS course. So before we go, can you give us a sneak peek into what's coming down the pike and what we can expect in the coming months from you?
Well, there was supposed to be a course update available on the weekend, but it sort of grew.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
For us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, These things are also new, and me with having quite a bit of experience in internet marketing and SEO over the years and that sort of thing, I wouldn't say a dreamer, but I'm sort of always thinking, always coming up with something new. When I'm writing, there's new stuff flowing.
Right.
I've basically come up with a few theories and ideas on how to... I guess you could say pump up these RSS feeds a little bit more for repurposing your own content on your own site.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've done, I've set up a brand new site. I won't say the URL right now, but I'm testing out a few of these theories. I know they're going to work, but what I'd like to do is wait on the course update until I've got some live examples that I can point to right on the web.
Very
with,
good.
With things like screenshots of stats, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing.
You know, I think that's definitely worth the wait.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I have to say that unlike a lot of info publishers or marketers that put products out there, you really are behind this 100%. I mean, that's definitely proof right there. You're not just going to continue to feed us little things to keep us in your loop, but you really are an RSS marketing expert, and you're going to be in this for the long haul, I assume.
Oh, definitely, definitely. This is one thing. Like, everything is basically just starting up with RSS. People are just becoming aware of it and developing new scripts and programs. Like, there's actually an RSS autoresponder out there right now. I'd like to mention, it's rssresponder.com.
Interesting. I'll have to write that one down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was just in contact with this guy a couple of weeks ago. If I can find him in my email, I'll mention his name.
You know, too, on that same note, while you're looking for that, or excuse me, if you can find it, I was just noticing a few weeks ago that AWeber, which is my mailing list manager, has RSS capabilities. So that every time I click the button to publish my newsletter, I can simultaneously publish it to an RSS feed and also publish it to an HTML archive.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful stuff.
It is.
And this whole year I've been just happily publishing my email newsletter and had no idea what that button meant. So now this is all really coming to light, and it's really exciting when you start to realize the potential that RSS has for us in online marketing.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, when you've got a big email list management company like AWeber, that's mm-hmm. doing something, it's time to follow. It's time to take notice then. I mean, Yahoo, for instance, has got their own blog right now. It's ysearchblog.com. Google has got their own blog. I don't remember the exact URL. I believe it's google.com Google blog. I believe so. If you did a search on Google looking for Google blog, it'll probably be in the top three results. That's how powerful blogging is. There's large companies online that are using blogging right now in their, you know, as a, not necessarily content management, but for keeping in touch with, keeping everybody in the loop, so to speak, on what's happening with the company.
Right.
They're publishing to a blog, and everybody is basically subscribed to the feeds because everybody's sitting in front of a computer all the time. So they get instant notification of what's going on within the company internally. So, I mean, blogging is powerful. RSS feeds are powerful as an instant communication system. This is something that everybody needs to be getting into, or at least finding out more about.
Right.
And figuring out ways to work it into their own marketing plans.
Well, from one end of it or the other, you need to be in on it, whether you're pulling feeds and publishing them for content or whether you are creating the feeds and pushing them for content to be pulled. I definitely agree. And,
exactly.
You know, before we close, this has been excellent. This has been really good. But before we close, you said something in your course along the lines of everybody and their dog.
Everybody and their dog.
Have
I've
a
actually
blog.
Seen two.
I had to ask you to give us a reference on that one.
Your dog wants a blog.
Say again?
My dog wants a blog.
Your dog wants a blog.
Sure.
You've actually seen it. I've actually seen a horse's blog.
A horse's blog, okay.
So
I actually
had to
have
ask.
A quick comment. Actually, it's a pet peeve.
Okay.
Let me just throw this out real quick. What I would like to see is my baloney has a first name. It's, you know, people should put their first and last name on their blogs.
Yes.
I have a very difficult time finding their blogs if all they have is the name of their publication or their website. And do you see what I'm trying to say here?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that really depends on the purpose of your blog. But if you're blogging because, you know, if you're blogging personal or if it's a business blog and you really want to network with and build relationships with your targeted market, by all means, use your full name. If you're publishing articles or content, by all means, publish a full signature, which includes your name, your URL, even your, you know, your tagline or what have you. So I do agree. That's a very good point to make.
Yeah, exactly. Because a blog, I mean, with the comments, it's not like a static web page where, you know, the page is talking at the visitor. A blog, you've got an opportunity to interact with the author through the comments.
Exactly. And when I go searching for, you know, it's like, oh, who do I want to, like, read today or read right now? It's like, oh, I'd like to read Paul Short. So, bam, 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 I just type, you know, and hopefully your name is, like, right there. And all you got to do is just put your name first in your title tag and then, you know, the rest of whatever it is that you want to put. Yeah.
Right. You know, and an interesting thing about that, too, is because it's something I do. For personal reasons, but I use Feed Demon as my feed reader, my blog reader, my news reader, what have you. So when I open Feed Demon and I want to add a new feed, let's say that it's Sharon and Roy's blog, whatever they have their blog named is what will show up as the title of that in my reader. However, I have the option to change that before I actually input that into my reader. So when it asks me that, I would change it if it didn't already say it to Sharon and Roy.
Yeah.
Simply because that's name recognition for me. I know when I'm having my lunch break that I want to go read what Sharon and Roy have to say for the day. So, you know, it's also an option that you can do if the person that publishes the feed you like to read doesn't do it automatically. You can usually change it in your reader. Is that true with most readers, Paul?
Most of them, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. I use Feed Reader for mine. It serves my purposes. And you can do the same thing. It's just like bookmarking a web page where you have the option of naming the bookmark whatever you want or the title of the page.
Yeah, right. You can do that with blog lines, too, if you do the web, reader on the web rather than the desktop version. So, you can do that, too. But it's just easier if, you know, you're clicking around if people already have their names in place because sometimes you have to go looking for it, like, what is your name?
Right.
You know? And then
right.
They use handles. It's like, oh, I don't like that. I need to know you by your name.
Right. Well, these are all some very good points, and it's very good to know things from a user's or a reader's perspective so that, again, you can go back as a publisher and really deliver things the way people like to read them, like to get them. So those are some very good points. I'd like to go ahead and close. I want to thank everyone for joining us live. And those that are listening in later, thank you also. And Paul, thank you so much for joining us and sharing all of this information with us. The course in itself was a huge eye-opener for me. All of the dumb questions I was afraid to ask you, you know, before were really answered and answered very well. And anyone who's already read the course, I want to encourage you to go back and read over, pages 40 through 44 again, because that was my absolute favorite part in the course. I thought it was handled and very well written, very well written. So, again.
And also, uh-huh. And also anybody, sorry for cutting you off there.
No, right? go ahead.
Also, for anybody who has a copy of the course, subscribe to the updates list, because that's one of the only ways that you'll know when there's new content being added to the course or when there's updates. So.
And we get free lifetime updates?
Exactly.
With your course,
exactly.
That is phenomenal.
Any updates, any add-ons, any new course modules, anything that's basically related to that course, you get updates.
Well, I'll tell you, in 3 to 6 months from now, we are going to be calling you back up again and asking you about audio blogs and video blogs and anything and everything else that has come back out again. So I really appreciate the fact that you are here in the industry to stay and that you are committed to keeping this information fresh and in front of us. Thank you so much for all that you do, Paul.
You're welcome.
Okay. It's been a great time. Really appreciate everyone listening in. So, again, if you have your receipt for the course, you can forward that to me at lynn@selfstartersweeklytips.com to claim the 3-part video tutorials for free. And we will see you online.